Hear the word of God, as is written in 2 Peter, chapter 2, reading from verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. This is the word of God.
2 Peter, remember we going through this amazing little book, aren't we, on Sunday mornings? And now we're coming to chapter 2 this morning, and verses 1 to verse 3. But will you please pray with me first? Father God, by your grace we have grown to love you. And what we're saying just now is really what we long for deep down in our hearts. We long to be holy. We long to be set apart. And we want to be ready to do anything that you ask of us. And now this morning, Lord, on this very beautiful, cool morning, in this lovely building, that you have given to us, we can now learn from the Bible. Please help us to grasp the importance of what we're going to have a look at today, to be careful, and to be on our guard, and more importantly, to really know what we ought to believe. Won't you bless this time? Please help me, Lord, to teach it lovingly and correctly, in a way that will honor Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. It was just a small little thing, but it brought a lot of joy to me. During the week, I went to the local engine garage to fill up with diesel, and was filling up, and the gentleman who very kindly helps me there and puts it in the car said to me, "Are you having a good day?" I said, "Sure, yeah, no, I'm having a brilliant day." To be honest, every day ain't easy. And he said, "But how can you say that?" I said, "Well, my friend, because I love Jesus, and he's brought into my life and many others a joy that is incredible." He says, "You know, I'm so glad to hear that. I also have gone to church." So I said, "Well, you know, the big thing is not whether you go to church or not. The big thing is whether you know Jesus, you see." Now we're into a big discussion and the diesel's pumping into my car. And he says, "Why don't you come to my church?" I said, "My friend, I would come to your church. If you invite me, I'll try and preach with pleasure." "What church do you go to?" He said, "No, I go to Shembe." I said, "Oof, Shembe?" He said, "The big thing is, don't focus on Shembe. What about Jesus?" And we had a marvelous discussion together. And I just happened, at Ladies for the Lord, they sell these things on the second-hand table. I bought a CD from an African choir, so I was playing some African music. He thought this was amazing. So I turned him on flat out, and all the garage is now listening. We're having the most amazing discussion. It ended off in him saying, "I'll tell you what, if you come, we'll give you one of those white robes, and you can walk with me up the mountain." I said, "You know, my friend, the big thing is, we've got to have the robes of Jesus." You see what was happening? We had a very nice discussion. And I'm going to go there now, regularly, I hope, and try and follow that through, because I think I want his trust. The danger today, friends, is huge when we realize that all around you, on your television sets, on your radio, in many bookshops, there is false teaching. said, what to say to you today while you sit in our church? If I to ask you this question, I wonder what you would say to me. What is the most terrible chapter in the Bible? I wonder what you would say to me. Have you thought about that? The most terrible chapter in the whole Bible. I wonder what you would say to me. Now what you're thinking, eh? But you think about that over your rest this afternoon. But you know what I think it is? I think it is 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to show you over these next few Friday Sundays. Do you see what's happened to us? In chapter 1, we went right to the top of the mountain, didn't we? As we were, Peter so beautifully explained to us all that God has done for you, my brothers and sisters. It's moving. It's humbling. It's stirring. When I remember that God has elected me, that God has called me, that God has given us everything we need for life, that God has given us some marvelous promises. That's what God has done. We are overwhelmed by His mercy. That's what Peter told us in chapter 1. We respond to that by making every effort to add to what He has done. Why? So that we never come to the point, remember what Peter said, where we are ineffective, unproductive, and forget what Jesus has done for us. We don't want that. It's the biggest fear of our lives. We don't want to be unproductive Christians. We don't want to be ineffective Christians. So chapter 1 was glorious. It was wonderful. It was stirring. And then you hit chapter 2. And the question is, why is Peter write the things that we are going to go through in chapter 2? And the reason is simple. Because he wants you to remember that there's an enemy out there, friends. And he wants to take you away from Jesus. So what I've entitled my little sermon for you today is, how do you recognize a false teacher? Because they're all around you. And today, we'll have a look at three things. We'll have a look at their marks, we're going to have a look at their message, and we're going to have a look at their method, and then we're going to just say one or two practical things by way of conclusion. But this is there to help us. Alright, so follow with me now. What are the marks of a false teacher? Now there are many. Okay, look what Peter says in verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. What is the mark, my friends, of a false prophet and a false teacher? The first thing, says Peter, is that they are always more interested in gaining popularity than telling the truth. That's what you will find. If you remember going to the book of Jeremiah, it's a very, very challenging book there, because what was happening in Jeremiah is that Judah is about to be destroyed. And Jeremiah came to the people and he said, I want to warn you, if you don't repent, our city is going to be destroyed. And they threw him in a well and they tried to get rid of him. But a false prophet by the name of Hananiah, he said, it's going to be okay. Now listen to Jeremiah. Don't worry about him. He's negative. You see, a false prophet is always more concerned with gaining popularity than by telling the truth. And my dear, dear friends, that's today. Just be careful. Numbers is not the big thing. Truth is the big thing. Number two, you'll always see that a false prophet is more interested in gaining personal gain Remember what Micah said, the prophets teach for hire, and the prophets divine for money. Or Titus 1:11 says they teach for filthy lucre's sake. Or 1 Timothy 6:5 says they think that godliness is a means to financial gain. And a few years ago, it was a very sad thing, where a man had one of the biggest television followings on all over the world, was found guilty of fraud and messing around with the money. His ministry was called Praise the Lord Ministries. He even had an air-conditioned kennel for his dog when it was hot. And people were giving money for the gospel. And it was going in the pocket and other things. You see, friends, just please be careful. A false prophet is more concerned with being popular than telling the truth. He's more concerned with money. Three, they are very loose in their personal lives. You see, Isaiah 28:7 even said, the priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink, and they've swallowed up in wine. Or Jeremiah 23:14 says, I've seen the prophets of Jerusalem, and I've seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies, and they strengthen the hands of the evildoers. You see, these are still born, bought. His records in the old ways still sell. And he was found twice in a hotel room with a prostitute. Millions of his songs were heard. Loose in personal lives. And the worst of all is number four. They always take people away from God. We're going all the way back to Deuteronomy 13:1-5, it says, let us go off to other gods. So from the heights of 1 chapter 1, Peter says, now I want to warn you. You've come to know God, you've come to know Jesus, you've come to know the Bible. Be careful. Be very careful, because out there in the world, there are false teachers. Be careful, he's saying to me. Be careful when you subscribe to that book. Be careful when you want to buy this DVD or whatever. Be careful on the internet. Be careful. There are false prophets abounding. Those are their marks. Number two, what is their message, says Peter? What are they bringing home to us? Well, the first thing is, he tells us, is that they bring secretly destructive heresies. They bring destructive heresy. So you may say to me, what do you mean by that, Warwick? What is a heresy? Simply, a heresy is anything, friends, anything that you cannot support with the Word of God. That is a heresy. Let's give you another illustration. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the year 300. How's that? 310, round about there. And a man by the name of Arius was getting a massive following. Massive, massive, massive. He was incredibly popular. Thousands of people were following him. His name was Arius. And it was becoming so serious that the church said, we've got to deal with this. So they got all the churches around the world to gather together at a place called Nicaea. That's why at 8 o'clock, we stand and say the creed, and we often say the Nicene Creed. It goes back to then. And they stood up, and they wrote down, and they put on paper what we believe about Jesus. Because Arius was saying this. There was a time when he was not. He denied the divinity of Jesus. It was a serious error. And yet thousands went to him because he was a dynamic speaker and gaining money and gaining popularity. You see, that's a heresy. Number two, they always deny the Lord Jesus Christ who bought them. Please forgive me. I don't want you to go home and say, hey, Warwick, he was mocking people. I don't want to do that, but I want to try to help you. You know where people err? About Jesus. That's a big one. You say to them, do you believe in God? They will say yes, but what do you believe about Jesus? We had our training day yesterday. It was wonderful. We started another 2-year program. Last year we commissioned about 33 men to preach the Bible across the province. Instead we started with another group. And when I was coming into Pinetown, at 7:30 yesterday morning, there they were out on the street again, handing out their literature. And we said, please, Lord, please, Lord, please help the people who take those magazines to see that they're wrong. Do you know why? They follow Arius. They deny that Jesus Christ is God. Where are the Mormons? They deny that Jesus Christ is God. Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny that Jesus Christ is God. The Christadelphians, they deny that Jesus Christ is God. Our Jewish friends, they deny that Jesus Christ is God. Hindus, they deny that Jesus Christ is God. They've all got a common denominator. Jesus is a good man, a good teacher, and a good prophet, but is he God? No. You and I here in our church, we stand up and we say the Nicene Creed, and we say, who is Jesus? Remember that, the line in the Creed? Very God, a very God, begotten, not made of one substance with the Father. We believe that, because Jesus is the heart of all our message. So they don't make him central, they deny his person, and they deny his atoning work on the cross. As soon as you make anything else a condition for bringing people to God other than what we are going to do here in just a moment, is not right. Number three. Says Peter, again we've touched on it, they are false in their lives and in their living. Many will follow their shameful ways. Many. And lastly, number four, they are superficial in their teaching. See verse 3? In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories. And they tell lots of stories. And they give lots of things that happen, but no content. No doctrine. No truth. Peter says, be careful. Just lastly, what's their method? How do they promote their teaching? Well, these three verses help us, don't they? The first thing is, says Peter, is that they are very, very subtle. They are very subtle. See that word? They secretly. That's how they work. It's secret. And try and do anything to infiltrate into a Christian's life. The effect, see verse 2? They bring the way of truth into disrepute. And what's number three? Their end. Well, we thank God that we are reminded their condemnation has been long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. God will bring to judgment people that teach the word of God in error. It's a serious, serious thing. So this morning, on this beautiful morning, you've come to church, and here you've heard me thundering on about something negative. But you know, my dear, dear friends, I do it because I'm your brother. And I care for you, and I love you. You must never doubt that. And when you love somebody, you warn them about danger. And I want to warn you today, very, very lovingly, be careful. Be careful. careful about what you hear. Be careful what you read. And be careful what you watch. So for just the closing moments, what can we do positively? That's what we want to do. And I want to leave three thoughts with you. The first thing that I do want to say very, very sincerely is test everything by the Bible. Want you to do that? Test everything by the Bible. Don't believe everything. In fact, believe nothing. Always say, is this from the Bible? Is Jesus Christ central? Is it honoring Him? Is it bringing me to God? Please, won't you do that? Test everything by Scripture. One of the things that we do at some of our meetings during the week is we have question and answer time. And they can fire any questions. And we can't always answer them. But we've got some folks to help us. But sometimes popular books are brought forward and they say, can I read this book? Is this a good book? What do you think of this book? And then we give a review on that book. And it's interesting. Some of the books I've had to say to them, I would recommend you don't read it. Oh, but everybody's reading it. Well, that's fine. But you don't have to. Because test everything by the Bible. Number two. What's the second positive? Know your doctrine. Know it. That's important. So what we do tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock is we are going for the next 8 or so weeks to the basic doctrines. Why am I doing that? To help you and you to help me. So we know. What do we believe about the Bible? What do we believe about God? What do we believe about Jesus? What do we believe about the Holy Spirit? What do we believe about the church? What do we believe about the end times? That's what we're going to touch on. Why? To help us. So that in these days in which we live, we are never going to be swayed this way or that way. We're going to know what we believe. We're going to test everything from the Scripture. And lastly, never get tired. Of drawing people to the Savior. So when you come to Christ, and start again, you have a great desire for the Word. So be careful. Know what you believe. And test everything. That's the beginning of the most terrible chapter in the Bible. It gets worse. If you can't afford to miss next Sunday. Alright, let's have a look. Let's pray. Lord, the Bible is the most amazing book. And it tells us not only what we want to hear, but it tells us what we should hear. And we come to a chapter like we're in now at the moment, and we're touching on things that are difficult. But thank you that the warning is there. Oh God, help us as a church. Help us as individuals to be careful, to know the Bible, to be able to see where there is untruth. Oh God, and how we pray for our children, our grandchildren, going into schools, universities, sometimes even Bible colleges that have rejected the Bible. Help us to guide them carefully through the troubled times in which we live. Thank you that we can have total confidence in your wonderful Bible.